can all tell Rick Goldsmith in some regards. They were very good friends, and I love coming here. I really love coming here. But Turetsky didn't say that. I have a daughter applying to Shelvin for next year. So you have to make a good impression. No, I know. You don't have to. I know this school. I love this school. You do have to make a good impression, because I also have a son learning in yeshiva this year. I won't say which one. Or his name. Otherwise, he would kill me. Or maybe not. Okay, anyway. Okay, I can't say that in every school, you know? Okay, guys, thanks for having me, especially 8 o'clock at night. So first of all, let me just tell you a little bit about what I do in CERN. Ayala is the representative from the YU office. She's passing out the Mari Makomos, which, by the way, I always use. I'm in this school. You're used to Mari Makomos. Very important to follow along sources. First of all, I feel like it keeps me from rambling, which you don't need me to do at a night cheer. And second of all, you see that I'm not making this stuff up, like it's coming from somewhere. I teach Tanakh and Stern, and I have the unique privilege of teaching all three levels, beginner, intermediate, and advanced. I run what's called the Machina program at Stern, which is a program for students coming from little to no formal Jewish educational backgrounds, usually public school backgrounds. The reason I'm telling you guys about it is because, first of all, I think it's amazing that Stern has that. And one of the things that I do, because I teach on all the different levels, I have to say that my Shalavim students, I have a lot of Shalavim students. I love those Shalavim students. They're mostly in my advanced level class. But what I love to do is I take my advanced students, and very often they're Shalavim girls, and I set up my advanced students to learn the Chavrusa with my Machina students. And it's really wonderful. It's wonderful on so many levels. And first of all, it helps integrate the student body. You meet people that you wouldn't have met that are coming from a totally different background than you. I do handpick my chavrusas, and I do often handpick my Shalavim students, because there's just a chin and an interest and an inspiration that you guys have. Well, not you guys, but I mean you guys as a whole, you know, Shalavim girls. And then at the end of the year, we have a big dessert reception. I always say that. I say dessert reception. It's really an ice cream party, but dessert reception sounds, you know, like fancy. But it's a lot of fun, and everybody comes, and the chavrusas, each pair of chavrusa presents what they've learned over the course of the year. And it is so beautiful, and you know, we always argue at the end. There's always these big arguments at the end of the evening, like, who gains more? You know, the Machina girls from learning from the advanced, you know, chavrusas, or the advanced girls from learning and being inspired by the Machina girls. And Baruch Hashem, everybody's inspired by each other. So it's a really, you know, CERN is an amazing place. There's a lot of different types of people coming from totally different places and totally different backgrounds, and it just gels. It's really amazing. So that's my job in CERN. I love coming when I come and spend time in Israel and speak around the different seminaries. It's always so nice when I end up having somebody in my class and she's like, you know, I remember you gave that share, and I'm like, oh, of course I remember you. Usually I don't, honestly, but sometimes if the person like participated and whatever, but it's always nice. You know, we met here in Eretz Israel and then we're back in New York. So what I want to learn with you guys, so thank you for inviting me to come. Although you didn't actually invite me. Anyway, let's make the most of it. Thank you for inviting me, Rabbi Turetsky. I want to talk about Birchas Kohanim. I figured it's a good topic because it's a topic that's applicable, that with an applicable theme, I think an inspiring theme, which we'll see, and something that comes up very often, especially in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, we say Birchas Kohanim every day, which is not like what we do in Chutz La'aretz. Although you have a shortened version in Chazaras Hashatz, but the whole, you know, duchening, Birchas Kohanim, you do every day in Eretz Yisrael. And also it comes up at various times, you know, parents sometimes give their children the bracha of Birchas Kohanim. If you are of German Jewish descent, if anybody's a Yekki here, Birchas Kohanim is said under the chuppah. It's part of what's said under the chuppah. So what I want to do with you guys now, in the next, you know, 40 minutes or so, is talk a little bit about Birchas Kohanim, what exactly it is, what's the purpose of the bracha, and hopefully, you know, gain something like a good inspiring message from it. If you look at source number one, Birchas Kohanim comes at the end of Parshat Naso. This is not Perek Chaf. I don't know why it says Chaf Chafet. I think it's Yud, maybe Yud, Perek Yud. It's the end of Naso. It's one of the last topics in Parshat Naso and Bamidbar. By Daber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, Daber al Aharon v'al Banav Lemor, Ko Tivarchu et Bnei Yisrael Emor Lahem. Hashem says to Moshe, speak to Aaron and his children and tell them this is the way they should bless Bnei Israel. They should say the following. Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Hashem panav eilecha v'chuneka, Yisa Hashem panav eilecha v'yasem lecha shalom. And this is the script of the bracha they should give, and we'll come back to what it means. V'samu et shmi al Bnei Israel v'ani avrachim. And they will place my name upon Bnei Israel, and I will bless them. If you look at source number two, that Kedas Yitzchak asks the question that all the Mefarshim across the board ask, which is, Ma to'elet b'mitzvah hazot? What is the purpose of this mitzvah? Ritzoni k'sheyamru elu habrachot mipi ha'kohanim el ha'am, ki hu yitalehu ha'mevarech, u'ma yosif u'ma yitain, ki yivarchu ha'kohanim o'yechadlu, v'chi hayalahem l'sayehu? Why do we need the Kohanim to give us a bracha that is coming from Hashem? Does Hashem need their help in giving us a bracha? We know that Hashkifa Mimon Kadshecha Ubarech Et Amcha Yisrael, Hashem gives us a bracha from Shemayim. You know, we always pride ourselves. I always think about this, that in Judaism, we don't need an intermediary. We don't have to confess to a priest, you know? We don't need an intermediary between us and Hashem. Hashem blesses us directly. So what is the role of the Kohanim? Why do we need this whole Birchas Kohanim, where the Kohanim are giving us a blessing that's coming from Hashem? Okay? So what I want to do in the next, let's say, 15 minutes is discuss what, you know, answer that question, which is why, what's the role of the Kohanim? What you know, what bracha are they giving to us? What bracha are they giving to us, and what is their role in all this? Why is it necessary? And the second part of the shiur will be an analysis of Birchas Kohanim itself, of the actual text. We'll talk about what that means. Just keep in mind also, when we get to that part, notice how the first section, Yivarecha Hashem Mishmerecha, is three words. Ya'er Hashem panav eilecha v'chuneka is five. Yisa Hashem panav eilecha v'yasem lecha shalom is seven. So we're going 3, 5, and 7, clearly ascending order of importance, which we'll talk about. Okay, so we'll do that at the end. All right, I am bringing, let's say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 different sources to answer the first question. Each one, just keep in mind, each one is asking basically the same question. It's a little bit nuanced, except for the Al-Sheikh is asking a little bit differently, but each one is a little bit nuanced, different in a nuanced way, and the reason I'm bringing each one is because I think there's something a little bit nuanced to learn from each one. If you look at source number 3, the Gemara, Maseches Chulin. Kotev Archu et Bnei Yisrael. Rabbi Yishmael Omer. Labmanu bracha li Yisrael mipi ha'konim. We understand that the Kohanim are giving Bnei Yisrael a bracha. L'kohanim atzmam lo labmanu. What about the bracha that the Kohanim, you know, what bracha are the Kohanim getting? Kishehu Omer va'ani avarchim, have Omer Kohanim mevarchim li Yisrael, v'akadosh Baruch Hu mevarech l'kohanim. So Rabbi Yishmael says, going back to source number 1, remember the end of Birchas Kohanim, it says, V'samu et shmi al Bnei Yisrael v'ani avarchim. They'll place my name upon Bnei Yisrael and I will bless them. I will bless them means what? Who are we talking? Who's the them? I is Hashem. I will bless them. You know, if I was marking this as an English essay, I would circle the them and say reference question mark. We don't know who it's talking about. Them, either Bnei Yisrael or the Kohanim. So Rabbi Yishmael says them is the Kohanim, meaning, you know, what gives the Kohanim authority to bless Bnei Israel? Well, Hashem blesses the Kohanim, and the Kohanim bless Bnei Israel. So the bracha goes from Hashem to them, and then to them. But again, we still have to answer the question why we need intermediary in all this. Fine. Second part of the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Lamanu bracha li Yisrael mipi Kohanim mipi agvura lo lamanu. Meaning, the question is asked a little bit differently. We understand the Kohanim are giving a bracha to Bnei Israel, but what about Hashem's bracha? Like, if the Kohanim, why are the Kohanim giving a bracha? Don't we want the bracha from Hashem? Says Rabbi Akiva, Kishehu Omer va'ani avarchim, have Omer Kohanim mevarchim li Yisrael, that Kadosh Baruch Hu maskim al yadam. So according to Rabbi Akiva, when it says, V'samu et shmi al Bnei Israel v'ani avarchim, ani avarchim means, I will bless them, not them, the Kohanim, like Rabbi Yishmael said, but them, Bnei Israel. Meaning, when they put my name, they're giving Bnei Israel the blessing, but really, I'm also, you know, the bracha's coming from me, I'm agreeing. You know, I'm giving them the permission to do this because I'm agreeing. I'm in agreement. If you look at the Tanchuma, Medrash Tanchuma, in source number 4, again, same question, asked a little bit differently. Amra Knesset Yisrael lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono shel olam, lakohanim ata omer shiyavarchu otanu, ein anu tzrichim ela lebirchatcha. Then you're telling the Kohanim to bless us, but we don't, you know, Bnei Yisrael can say to Hashem, you know, theoretically say to Hashem, We understand that the Kohanim are giving us a bracha, but we don't want a bracha from the Kohanim. We want a bracha from you. V'liotenu mitbrachim mipicha. We want a bracha from your mouth. Shenemar kiviyachol hashkifa mimon kachecha. The pasuk I just quoted to you. It's a beautiful pasuk that Hashem is in Shemayim and He blesses us from Shemayim. We want a bracha from you. Why do we need a bracha from the Kohanim? Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem's response is, Af al pi she'amarti lakohanim she'yehu mevarchim etchem, ani omed imahem u'mevarech etchem. Even though I'm telling the Kohanim to bless you, I'm with the Kohanim blessing you. I'm up there with them. The reason I wanted to show you this Medrash Tanchuma is because this is one of the sources for not looking. You know, you're not supposed to look during Birchas Kohanim, you know what I'm talking about, right? I'm sure everybody did at one point peek in their lives, right? It's no big shakes, right? Oh, come on, just fess up. Everyone does it. But the point is, you know, I don't know, for me, like, you sometimes you see people, like, in the front row of the women's section. I don't know if the men's section. Men go under their talisim, so it makes it a little easier. Some of the women sometimes turn around. You ever notice that? That's not nice. You shouldn't do that. Someone's giving you a bracha. You don't go, like, okay, you know, talk over here. You know, you're supposed to just, you know, control yourself, look down. But anyway, the idea is that the Shekhinah, whatever that means, the Shekhinah is up there with the Kohanim. There's some sort of Shekhinah presence up there with the Kohanim, so you're not supposed to look because there's something that has tremendous Kedusha. If you look at the Rashbam in source number 5, Ko tivarchu et b'nei Yisrael, klomar lo tivarchu mi birchat pichem, ke adam she'omer tzvuata l'rosh ploni kach v'kach. You're not giving, again, they're all similar. The Rashbam is stating, you know, just explaining, don't think that the bracha is coming from the Kohanim. It's like a bracha, you know, that they can say to you, oh, you're going to have a great year, a great crop year this year. You know, only Hashem could, you know, they're not Nevi'im. Only Hashem can promise, you know, success, a successful year. You know, the Kohanim are not Nevi'im. They're not saying things that they can't, you know, follow up with. Ella, and again, we're just defining our terms here, according to the Rashbam. But rather, they're davening to me that I should bless you with a successful, you know, whatever, with success. And we'll talk about what in a few minutes. Because again, look at the language of the Kohanim. The Kohanim are saying, may God bless you. They're not saying, we're blessing you. Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Va'ani eshma kochem kasher tomru v'avarchem liYisrael. And I will listen to their tefillah. It's really essentially a tefillah. Kohanim are davening for us. And Hashem says, I will answer their tefillos. K'mo shemefaresh v'samu et shmi al b'nei Yisrael. K'she yivarchu kohanim liYisrael b'shmi v'lo b'shmam. When they bless b'nei Yisrael in my name. That's why it's important to say, v'samu et shmi al b'nei Yisrael. They're doing it in my name. They're not saying, we Kohanim up here, we're giving you a bracha. No, what they're saying is, we're asking Hashem to give you a bracha. And when they say it in Shem Hashem, ani avarchem liYisrael k'mo shitpalalu kohanim v'omrim yivarach Hashem. So Hashem will respond favorably. And Hashem will respond and answer the tefillos positively that the Kohanim are davening on our behalf. If you look at the Abarbanel, Abarbanel says something interesting about bracha in general. He says, HaBracha Shem Meshutaf. There's different meanings to the word bracha. There are different types of bracha. Ki yesh mimenu mei Hashem yitbarach l'nivra'av. You have one type of bracha, which is a bracha from Hashem to His creations. V'hi hashba'a v'tova k'mo she'nemar v'Hashem beirachat Avram bakol. And that is like Hashem blessing Avram with everything. Only Hashem can do that. And that's a blessing of goodness, of success, of shefa, you know, whatever it is. That can only come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yesh bracha shehi mehanivra'im elav yitzbarach. There's a second type of bracha, which is a bracha from Hashem's creations to Hashem. And that is v'hi hilul v'shevach. And that's praising Hashem. It's another form of the word bracha. For example, Vayivarech David et Hashem. David blessing Hashem. It's hilul v'shevach. It's praise. The yesh bracha, and the third type of bracha, is mehanivraim k'tzatam l'k'tzatam. And it's from creations to each other, people, one person to another. V'hi eina shefa, it's like going to someone to get a bracha, or parents giving a bracha to children. V'hi eina shefa k'mo birchat Hashem l'nivra'av. It's not a bracha of success or shefa or tov. You're not promising anything, you know, like Hashem can give to His creations. V'lo shevach v'hoda'a k'birchat ha'nivra'im l'borei. And it's not praiseworthy, praise like the creations of Hashem are giving to Hashem. Aval Tfilah ubakashat rachamim al hamitzparech sheyashpia alav HaKadosh Baruch Hu mibirchato. But it's a tfilah, okay? It's simply a tfilah, right? When parents give their children brachos, I happen to love the tfilah after lighting candles of the Zakenu. right? It's a beautiful tune, beautiful song, beautiful words, right? It's beautiful words. But what is it? It's really a tefillah. I'm not saying, you know, my children should be have Yirat Shamayim and one day, you know, be Talmid Chachamim and spread light of Torah in the world. I hope. But it's a tefillah. I'm davening as a parent to Hashem that he should, you know, that he should make this happen. But I can't say this is going to happen. So that's what it is. It's really a bracha. And that's what that Bar Nel says. Look at the last line. Einam ela mitpalalim bilvad al birchatam bezehu emor lahem sheyye inyanam amira v'tfila alehem bilvad v'lo davar acher. Very, you know, this is it. It's a tefillah, right? It's really a tefillah when the Kohanim are giving a bracha to Bnei Israel. It's that third type of bracha where creations are giving a bracha to each other. And it's really, in no uncertain terms, a tefillah. Okay, they're davening. The same way it's nice for a parent to daven for a child. You assume they're going to daven with a lot of kavana. So too, the Kohanim are davening on behalf of Bnei Israel. Rav Hirsch in number 7 sort of elaborates on this idea a little bit. And he says the following. It's very interesting. He says, basically, look at number 7. Hakohen hamivarech eino ela machshir kli hamivatet et habracha. The Kohen who's blessing Bnei Israel is really just a vessel through which the bracha of Hashem is being invoked. He's invoking the bracha of Hashem. And then he continues and he says, Mitatam shel Bnei Aaron, pirchei ha-kuna rishona. When Aaron's children died, we learned from this. Ha'emida l'chok v'lo yavar. What do we learn from the death of Aaron? So why did Aaron's children die? Remember, they brought a what? Remember? What did they bring? An Esh Zara was called. What's an Esh Zara? What's the definition of an Esh Zara? Literally a foreign, you know, fire. But what does that mean? They did something different. They veered a little bit off the path of what Hashem had wanted them to do. For whatever reason, they might have had a lot of zeal, a lot of excitement. You know, they were good people with good kavanot, you know, but they didn't do exactly what Hashem said. And unfortunately, they were used as an example, as karbanos, literally, as an example to teach this message. When you do avodah, it has to be exactly, look what happens to Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, if he veers the slightest away from what Hashem wanted him to do. So Rav Hirsch says, we learn from them, you know, asher tziva Hashem, hi avodah, v'she avodah asher lo tziva ma'asei ish v'tachvulotav. If you don't do exactly what Hashem says, but you add your own stuff, hi zara v'hi pucha shel avodat Hashem ha-ritzuyah. What does that have to do with us? He continues, "Hachok haze kocho yafeh gam benogea lebirchas kohanim." This applies as well to birchas kohanim. Why? Ko tivarchu et bnei Israel, kach lelo shinoi ze hadin. He says, and this is, I find this fascinating that he says this. He says, "Birchas kohanim is basically another type of avoda." That the same way that, let's say, I want to bring, it's time of the Beis HaMikdash, and I want to bring a Korban Todah. Something great happened, and I want to thank Hashem, and I want to bring a Korban. I can't just go buy myself an animal, walk into the Mishkan, and give a, and bring the Korban to Hashem. What do I need to do? I need to get a Kohen. I need to find myself a Kohen, and he has to bring that Korban on my behalf. Because I can't do it. He helps me do the Avodah. So says Rav Hirsch, the same way that I'm going to bring a Korban, I have to go to a Kohen. If I want to invoke the bracha of Hashem, I have to do it through the Kohen. It's part of the Kohen's job to help us do avodah. And therefore, it has to be done in this way. The same way there are very specific instructions for everything else the Kohanim have to do for us, like bring a korban, right? There are specific instructions for how they, you know, bring the bracha of Hashem down to us. And that's why he continues. He says, "Lefi zeh haKohanim beBirchatam machshirim nifalim hem. Rak acharei hikaram al yedei haKahal hem omrim et habracha asher ba kocho shel haKahal makriotam lifneihem." And this is fascinating. He says, because the Kohanim are really doing our avoda, helping us do avoda, right? When I bring karban, if a Kohen brings a karban for me, he didn't bring his karban, it's my karban. I just did it through the Kohen. So the same thing here. The Kohen can't, if it's part of the avoda, then the Kohen's giving us a bracha is really us doing it. We're just doing it through the Kohen. Which is why Rav Hirsch says the Kohanim, if you think about it, during Duchening, the Kohanim don't start the bracha. They don't say Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecha until the Chazan says what? Be'akohanim, right? It's interesting. You never think about that, right? You heard that in shul. The Chazan has to get up and say Be'akohanim. He has to call them. Okay? Because if it's part of the avoda, the same way a Kohen is not just going to bring a korban on my behalf without me asking him to, So too, we have to answer. We have to call the Kohen. We need a Kohen, a Kohanim. We're ready to get the bracha, and it's part of the Avodah. And that's what Rav Hirsch says at the end. Kach be'emet mitoch gronam shel haKohanim mevarech haKahal et atzmo bebracha shetziva Hashem. It's through the throats of the Kohanim that basically Bnei Yisrael are blessing themselves. It's in the same way that a korban that the Kohen brings for me is my korban, not his. This too is our bracha, not his. We're just doing it through his throats. That's very nice. It's a very interesting idea. But it still didn't answer the question about why do we need them? You know, the korban we need because you can't go into the Mishkan. You know, it's nice to say, okay, it's part of the avoda, but why this? So if you look at the Alshech, and this is the last source on this one, and we have a couple of last points to bring together, the Alshech says something that I think is so profound and so inspirational. What does he say? First of all, he asks the question a little bit. He asks a little bit of a different question here. He says, "Lama yidabra konim im Yisrael lomar yivarech Hashem." V'halo tov haya shiyidabru hakohanim el Hashem v'yomru elav barchem Hashem v'shomram v'lo shiyidabru Yisrael lemar lahem yivarech Hashem. The Alshech says, he's going to answer why we need the Kohanim, but he's asking even more specifically, why do we need the Kohanim in this way? In other words, what do I mean in this way? Why is there a whole scripted drama? It's almost like a play, right? The Kohanim stand up here, they have to stand in a certain way, they face the audience, the Bnei Yisrael face the Kohanim, you know, the Chazan says, the Kohanim, and then the Kohanim say, Varechacha, Yivarechacha, Hashem, Yishmarecha, you know? Why do we have to do this when we're having this whole, like, dialogue, you know, conversation with each other, back and forth? If it's part of the Avodah, like Rav Hirsch is saying, why can't the Kohanim, like they do other things during the day, you know, as part of the Avodah, they go into a corner of the Mishkan, or the corner of the Shul, and say, Barchem Hashem, Hashem, bless them. Why does it have to be, I'm talking to you, Yivarechacha Hashem, you understand? Meaning, let's say in the morning, there's a morning Karban, which is parallel to Tfilat Shacharit. There's an afternoon Karban, which is Tfilat Mincha. There's an extra one on Shabbos HaTagim, which is Musaf, right? Are we all there when the Kohanim bring these Karbanos? No, they do it on their own time. Like, that's what they're busy with during the day. You know, this is what they do. Everyone else goes to work, and the Kohanim and the Levim are working in the Mishkan. But that's what the Kohanim do. They do these things for the sake of the Tzibor. So the question is, if this is for the Tzibor across the board, again, a Karban is different because it's personal, it's individual. But if we're giving across the board, we're invoking the Bracha of Hashem, do it on your own time. You know, go into a quarter, do your thing, and you'll get it. You know, you'll get the Bracha of Hashem for the Tzibor. Why do we need this back and forth? So he says something amazing. L'zeh amar kotev archut. This is why Hashem said, this is how you have to do it. It has to be done like this. Why? Nityachasu itam lemevurchim be'emor lahem be'atzmam yivarecha ve'lo be'emor lashem. You need this yachas. What is a yachas? A relationship, right? We need to have this give and take dialogue. There needs to be a relationship between the Kohanim and Bnei Israel. Why? Ve'hatam ki hinei al yidei kein v'samu et shmi al Bnei Israel. Only through doing it in this way is my name going to be placed upon Bnei Israel. Why? Ki al yidei dibu ramim Yisrael. Only through speaking with Bnei Israel, he mechavnim otam lekabel habracha. They're getting them ready. They're giving them the kavana. They're getting them into the mode to be ready to receive the bracha. V'sum et shemo yitarach al Hashem. Shehu b'dibur itam ve'emar lahem yivarechacha she'al yidei kach yuchnu v'yishpu'u. Now this is amazing. I think this is such a profound idea. He says that the Kohanim's role in all this, and this answers the question beautifully, the reason the Kohanim need to do this, that we're not getting, we do get a bracha directly from Hashem, but what is their role in this, and why do we need to have this scripted drama? Because the Kohanim's job is not to bless Bnei Israel. Of course that's coming from Hashem. The Kohanim's job is to tell us that there's a blessing coming. Yivarech Hashem, that the Kohanim's role is to get us ready to receive the bracha of Hashem. Because if we're not ready to receive a bracha, if we're not prepared to receive a bracha, we might not recognize that it's a bracha. And if we don't recognize that it's a bracha, then we don't appreciate it as a bracha, then the question is it really a bracha at all? Think about it. How many things do we have, and this is why I think this is so profound, because it's so shayach to human nature. How many things do we have in our lives that are tremendous brachot that we don't necessarily recognize or actively acknowledge that they're brachos? I think about this a lot, you know? Something happens, if something bad happens, you know, we right away jump and say, why did it happen? Why did this bad thing happen? But when the status quo is good, and there's real bracha, we don't like acknowledge, maybe you do, I don't know, it's a challenge for me, you know, to recognize, to appreciate the brachas that we have. I once recently went to a Rebbe. I never went to a Rebbe before. It was a Hasidic Rebbe, the Square Rebbe. He actually asked to meet with my husband. He actually didn't ask. He demanded to speak with my husband. My husband's a psychologist. He deals with a lot of mental health issues in the religious community. So my husband got summoned once recently. And summoned is the right word, I have to say. And I said, if you're going, I'm going too. I never met a Rebbe, and I want to meet a Rebbe. So he asked me, you know, he was very friendly, very warm. Before he started talking shop with my husband, at that point I excused myself. But he said, you know, I want to give you a bracha. What bracha can I give you? And I was thinking, like, wow, you know, like, thank God, you know, things are good in my life, and I have a great husband, Baruch Hashem. I have great kids, Baruch Hashem. You know, parents are healthy. Everything should just continue, you know. So I said, you know, maybe give me a bracha that I should appreciate the brachas that I have. It was a good answer. Like, sometimes I only think about that afterwards, but that was, like, at the time. You know, you walk out, you're like, oh, I should have said that, you know. So I felt like that's my challenge. Like, you have to actively appreciate. It doesn't just happen, you know. You actively, I love teaching, I love my job, you know, I love my students. You just have to, but like, acknowledge, like, you know, like I have a lot of brachos in my life. Because human nature is such that we take it for granted. You know, I was so inspired. It's obviously been a rough year, right? I mean, you know, there's a lot, you've been experiencing a lot being in Eretz Yisrael this year. Again, and I told you my son is here, so I'm like experiencing it vicariously through him. Like, when he told me he went last week, you probably went to the Azkara for Ezra, and then he went to the wedding afterwards, a lot of you did that. I'm like, I had tears in my eyes. I'm like, your mom is experiencing like the tsa'ar and the simcha of Kal Yisrael. You know, like you're experiencing difficult times in Eretz Yisrael, and you're here in Kol HaKavod, and you're learning. And I was very inspired. One of the first tragedies of this period of time, I think the first one, it was Erev Shabbos Chol HaMoed. It was when Rebbetzin Henkin's son and daughter-in-law were murdered right in front of their children. Do you remember that? It was the first one of these sort of terrible incidents. And I saw online something that Rebbetzin Henkin, when she got up from Shiva, she went to Nishmat and she spoke and she gave a shiur. And one of the things that she said was, she said, you know, I'm so inspired by this. She said, you know, people, you know, a lot of people came to Pei Shiva Kol, and people are reaching out to me and they're telling me, wow, you know, it's so terrible and we're living in such terrible times and it's so terrible what's happening in Eretz Yisrael and we're really living at such a low point in Jewish history. And you know what she said? She said, you know something? I know I experienced, you know, terrible personal tragedy. And not only me personally, but Klal Yisrael lost tremendous people, two tremendous people, right? And her son and daughter-in-law. She said, but you know something? We are living at the most amazing times in Jewish history. She said, we have Eretz Yisrael. We can have students who come here. We have people making aliyah. You can just get on a plane and come. It's nobody stopping you from coming. There's Jewish sovereignty in the land of Israel. We have so many mekomot Torah. We have so much going on in Eretz Yisrael for thousands of years. People would have done anything to do what everybody here is doing right now, right? And she said, we have tremendous bracha in our lives. She's like, there's religious freedom in so many places in the world. She's like, you know, stuff happens and tragedy happens, but this is really a tremendous period of bracha. And it was so inspiring to me. Can you imagine her saying this? Like a week after, she just got up from Shiva with the inconceivable tragedy, personal tragedy that she experienced, to be able to say that. I know she's right, but to be able to say that, I don't know, it really left an impression on me. But that's the idea. So we're sitting here, you know, you're learning in Eretz Yisrael, like, do we appreciate? I don't mean to give mussar about it. I know I'm talking to myself also. You know, I have these trips and I spend like a few days here and I go around from seminary to seminary and they're hard. And I'm always thinking as it's getting closer, you know, oh, you know, I have to go to Israel, you know? And then I stopped this year I was more excited because my son is here, you know? But this is the first time I have that. And then next year I'll be excited, God willing, my daughter will be here, maybe here, I don't know. But the point is that, you know, then I stop myself and I'm like, you idiot. You know, like, I'm upset that I'm coming to Eretz Yisrael. Like, this is such a bracha that I have to get an Israel fix in the middle of the winter, you know? And how many people would have loved to do this? You know, for so many years of Jewish history, who couldn't do this? And I'm complaining about it because I have to find babysitters for my kids and make dinner in advance? Like, it's so silly, you know? So it's, again, we have to appreciate what we have, and sometimes we take it for granted. So coming back to this, that's the role of the Kohanim. And the Kohanim are basically telling us, guys, look around you. Bracha of Hashem is pouring down upon us. And then if we get into the mode that we recognize that this is a bracha, we'll appreciate it even more. And if you look at the next source, in source number 8, and that's why the Kohanim aren't giving the bracha, of course. They're just preparing us to be ready for the bracha, to be aware of the bracha. If you look at the Gemara in Shabbos, this is actually a tiny piece of a very well-known Gemara, where it talks about how Moshe went up to Har Sinai. When he went up to Har Sinai, and Bnei Israel were camped at Har Sinai, Matan Torah, it says, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. V'sha'ah she'alam Moshe l'marom, matzol ha'kadosh baruch hu, she'aya kosher k'tarim la'otio. He went up, Hashem was finishing up, you know, putting the finishing touches on the Torah. He was putting the crowns on the letters of the Torah. So what happens? Amar lo, Moshe, ein shalom b'iracha. So Hashem turned to Moshe and says, Moshe, aren't you going to greet me? You're not going to say hi? And Moshe's response is, Amar lefanav, klubi yesh evet shenotein shalom b'rabo. He was just standing there. He's like, what, I'm supposed to come in and greet you? I'm supposed to go, hey, God, you know, what's happening? You know, I can't, you're my creator. I'm not going to start like, hey, God, how are you? You know, I'm not going to come greet you. So Hashem's response was, Amar lo, fine, hayalacha lazreini, but at least help me. I need your help. So the Gemara then continues and says, well, what does that even mean? Like, Hashem has this perfect Torah, Torah Hashem Tamima. Why does Hashem need Moshe's help? So the Gemara explains that Hashem needs Moshe's help to prepare Bnei Israel for this gift. Exactly the point I was making before. In other words, Hashem has this amazing gift he's giving to Bnei Israel, but if Bnei Israel are not prepared to receive it, and they don't know what to do with it, then how great is the gift, right? Think about it. If you get something amazing, but you don't know anything about it. My daughter, who's applying to Shalvin, wants me to get an iPhone 6 because my contract is up, and she wants her. So she wants to give me her old one, and then I'll give her my iPhone 6. And I'm not doing that, by the way. But the point is, she said to me, you know, she's arguing with me about it, trying to make her point. She's like, well, you won't even appreciate, you know, the iPhone 6. Like, you don't even know what to do with it. I'm like, no, I know how to text and take pictures in my WhatsApp groups. And she's like, but you could do that with the iPhone 4. You know, like, I'll appreciate it because I know what 6 can do compared to the 5 and the 4. You know, the answer's still no, by the way. But the point is that she's right. You know, so then my son pipes up, well, instead of giving it to Ayala, just go to the Apple store and learn how to use it, and then it'll be more special to you. And he's right too. You know, if I learn how to use the iPhone 6, it'll be something that I can appreciate even more. So the thing is, you have this amazing thing that is, you know, and you know, let's say the Torah, Lahavdil, I'm comparing it to an iPhone, right? Lahavdil Alfei Havdalos. You have a Torah that is the, you know, a gift that Hashem gives us that can bring unlimited, profound meaning and inspiration into our lives at a time that, like, in the time of technology, everybody's looking for inspiration and meaning in their lives, right? Ask Oprah. Every day she has another way to have meaning in your life, even though she's, like, kind of on the wrong path. But the point is, here we have something that brings meaning into our lives, but what if you don't know how to bring the meaning? What if you don't know how special that Torah is? And that's what Moshe's job was. Moshe's job was to come down towards Tzivah Land of Moshe. Moshe's job was to go down and tell Bnei Israel, guys, you are getting this amazing gift. Let me tell you about it. Let me explain to you. Let me get you prepared to appreciate it. And that's what Moshe's role is. Look, I relate to that as a teacher, as a mechanecha. You know, I always tell my students that I am really nothing more than a salesman with a really good product, right? Like, I have this Torah that is works for me, not in past tense, that has brought tremendous meaning into my life, and I think it's a source of tremendous meaning in your life, and then you just have to, you know, explain to people how that works, you know, and package it and show how it can work for you too. You know, it's a great product that can really bring meaning into everybody's lives. And because, you know, and again, especially if I'm a Klipa students, when you're coming from a background where you never learned anything in Torah, you don't know how great this gift is. So you know, so our job, whether you're learning with someone or you're for yourself or you're for your friends, is to help someone appreciate this amazing gift that is all of our gifts. You know, any Jew has this gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're born with this gift, and you just have to learn at some point, you know, to be prepared to use it and to appreciate it. So that's what Moshe's role was. The last point on this is number 10, that Kedas Yitzchak says a very good mashal about this point. Very good. Look at the last two lines. 2.5 lines. Kechelkat eretz, it's like a piece of land. Asher kol od einena avuda uzrua, that wasn't planted, it wasn't prepared for crops. It wasn't plowed, the field wasn't plowed. You didn't plant anything in it. Lo yuchlu hageshem vehatal lif'ol pe'ulatam hatova aleha ad she'tiavad v'tizarak haraoi. If you have this field that was not plowed, and you didn't plant anything, and then it rains, right? We ask Hashem for rain. I was so upset yesterday when it started raining, and then I'm like, wait, this is a bracha. Like, I could be upset in New York, but here, like, we're davening for this. You know, you just daven for it, just not when you're here. But, you know, so it's a good thing when it rains. But let's say, so then it rains. Now, if this field was not prepared for crops and it rains, is the rain in fact a bracha? Not really, because all you have is a big muddy field. But if you plowed the field and you prepared it for the rains, and then and you planted stuff, and then the rains come, it's a much bigger bracha, because then you have crops growing. You understand? Same rain, either it's going to be a bracha or it's not going to be a bracha, depending if it's prepared to receive the bracha. So that is the role, and if you look at the last line in the Kedas Yitzchak, v'zehu shemar l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, mikom makom hayalach alasayehu. That's what I need your help with, Moshe. I need you to prepare the fields. Prepare the fields. Prepare B'nai Israel to get the gift of Torah, the bracha that we know as Torah. And if you prepare them properly, it'll be such a big bracha. And that's the role of the Kohanim, guys. That the Kohanim get up there and they tell us, they prepare us. It's like we're the fields and they're preparing the fields. And what they're telling us is, be prepared to receive the bracha of Hashem. It's all around us. Don't take it for granted. Recognize that the brachos of Hashem are coming. And here. And then it'll keep, I mean, think about this next time you hear Birchas Kohanim, and it really is much more meaningful. You know, and it makes you recognize and look around you and appreciate the brachos of Hashem and not take it for granted. So that's the role of the Kohanim. Last 10 minutes. Let's now look at the script of the bracha, and let's see what it's all about. Yivarach Hashem v'yishmerecha. Rashi, along with the majority of Mefarshim, I would say everybody, almost everybody, Nitziv says a little bit differently, which we'll see, but along the same lines, the first part of Birchas Kohanim is physical. Physical bracha. Yivarechacha, says Rashi in number 11, sheitz brachu nechasecha. Your possession should be blessed. You should be blessed with possessions. Physical blessing, right? V'yishmerecha, shelo yavo alecha shodedim li toma manecha. You should get a lot of money, a lot of stuff, and v'yishmerecha, Hashem should also guard over your stuff so that thieves don't come and steal them. And don't come and steal your stuff. Shehanotein matana le'avdo eino yachol l'shamro mikol adam. Because if I give you a gift, if somebody gives somebody a gift, they can give them a gift because they want them to enjoy it, but they can't protect it from thieves, you know. V'chevan shebaim listim alav v'notzlim otam imenu mahanao yesho b'matana zu. And then if you give somebody something nice and then thieves come and it gets stolen, then they can't get enough from the gift you gave them. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu anotein hu ashomer. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu can both give the gift and also protect it. So that's what it means, Yivarach Hashem v'yishmerecha. You look at that. V'nezra, same idea. It's physical. The V'nezra just adds the word chayim. It's not just osher, but chayim. Yivarecha tosefet chayim v'osher. V'tam v'yishmerecha sheyishmor ha-tosefet shelo yigzol acher ma shehosif. Again, same idea. It's a physical bracha that Hashem should give you, bless you with physical stuff, physical possessions, wealth, life, physical life, and protect that nobody should take it away from you. If you look at the Nitziv, so basically, it's basically the majority opinion across the board. The Nitziv says a little bit differently, although he does say that it's physical. He says both a little bit differently. Big Chiddush and V'yishmerecha also. What does he say? Yivarech Hashem, nichlal bazeh l'chol adam kifi ha-ra'uy lo, l'hitvarach. Nitziv says it's not like, you know, wealth for everybody. You know, it's not like it's this, one size fits all sort of bracha. He said, Yivarech Hashem is individualized. Yivarech Ha, individual. Hashem should bless you individually based on what you have. Each one individually. And he gives example. He says, Abracha tehe lefi ha-bracha shenitbarech ad ko. You'll get a bracha based on what you have so far. For example, already, le'osek b'torah b'limudo, u'le'osek b'mischar b'schurato. That if you are, you know, learning, if you're spending your efforts, you're putting your efforts in learning Torah, so you'll be blessed with, you know, you're learning, with insights in learning. If you're spending your time in business, so you'll be successful in your business. You know, if you're an artist, you'll be successful and more artistic. Whatever it is, it's an additional bracha based on what you already have. Tosefet l'chol adam b'mashi yesh lo. So what's v'yishmerecha? You know, it can't do the same answer as v'yishmerecha that Rashi gave, right? He says, d'chol bracha ba'esh mira shelo yahafchu l'roetz chas v'shalom. He says, it's a very clever way of explaining v'yishmerecha. It doesn't mean I'm going to protect it so that nobody takes it. I'm going to protect you, that Hashem should also protect us, because sometimes when you're blessed with success, it could lead to your downfall, right? Let's say you become very good or very successful. You could become arrogant. You could, you know, have not such good midos afterwards. It could bring you down instead of bringing you up. So that's what the Nitziv says. Yivarech Hashem v'yishmerecha. Yivarech Hashem means he should bless you. You should be successful in whatever you're doing. You should be more successful in that field. and Vishmaras Hashem will make sure it doesn't bring you down. That it only has positive impact on your life. You know, it's like all those people who you read about, or there are stories about, who win the lottery and they become so wealthy and then their lives are messed up because of it. You know what I'm talking about? I always play these games with God, like, you know, test me on this one. Like, let's see, you know, it won't happen. But it never works so far. But the point is that, you know, you don't want the negative stuff to come from it. So that's what you're asking Hashem for that protection, almost like personal protection. So that's the first section. We could skip the Barbanel 14, very similar idea. That we said before. What about section number two? Ya'er. And again, the first section is three words, because that's important, but not, you know, but the relatively speaking, the lowest level of what the bracha that we're asking from Hashem. Oh, by the way, I didn't even bring the Or HaChaim here, but the Or HaChaim does say, you know, of course you should ask for physical, because he says the same thing that Rashi says, it's a physical bracha, but I love that the Or HaChaim adds, you know, don't feel bad asking for physical things. Ki im in kemach in Torah. Like, you need, you know, somebody has to pay $25,000 to send you here for the year. I'm sorry, now I know how much it costs because my son's in yeshiva, you know? Although I honestly don't know what I'm paying for a boys' yeshiva. The girls have so much more programming and tulim. Like, the boys, they stick them in the base of medrash and that's it. And I don't know why they cost the same. I asked my son, he said, you can pay for all the Israelis. You know, he's at a Hesder yeshiva. So you're paying for all the Israelis, you know, who are paying like 1,000 shekel for the year, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, but you know, like, these things cost money. So yes, we have to ask Hashem for physical bracha because it's important. But again, it's not the most important. It's the first level of bracha. Second level of bracha, Ya'er Hashem panav elecha v'chuneka. Says the Medrash Rabbah, Ya'er ze ma'or Torah, she ya'ir einecha velibecha velibcha batorah, v'yiten lecha banim b'nei Torah, ki ner mitzvah batorah tzor. And then v'chunecha reihem v'vorchim v'shmurim v'shchina b'neihem. Spiritual bracha. The same way the first one is asking for physical sustenance or physical success, the second one is spiritual. That Hashem should, Ya'er Hashem panav elecha, Hashem should shine the light of His face upon you and show you chen, and bring favor upon you, or chen is wisdom, but spiritual wisdom, or insight in Torah. Okay, that's what the Medrash Rabbah, he says, Binyan af chinunim betatu vina tamud lomar, vichuneka kmo shematzlen, like we daven atach chonen ladam da'at, umelamed leno shpina. It's inspiration. It's a spiritual bracha. If you look at Rashi in number 16, same idea, but I love that Rashi says this, by the way. I don't know if this is exactly what he meant, but look at Rashi in number 16. Ya'er Hashem panav elecha, yir'e lecha panim sochakot, panim tzahuvot. Rashi makes me smile, because what does that mean? Yir'e lecha, Hashem should show you panim sochakot, like a smiling face, like a laughing face, panim tzahuvot. What is tzahov? Yellow, a big yellow happy smiley face, right? Like, you think of the emoji, like, someone knew this Rashi, I don't know, whoever trademarked that big, you know, again, you look at the Mefarshei Rashi and they explain what that means, you know, but it's you know, that Hashem should look pleasantly upon you. But it's interesting, right, that Rashi in the 11th century is talking about a big yellow smiley face, right? But that image of, you know, Hashem looking favorably upon you, but again, it's not something physical, it's not something tangible, it's a spiritual bracha. Evan Ezra, same idea, Batam Ba'orm Pnei Melech Chayim. Okay, look at 18. So again, the first section is physical, the next section is spiritual. What about the last one? Seven words. Yisa Hashem panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. So very interestingly, I think because of a precedent in the grammatical words, Rashi and the Medrash Rabbah explain Yisa Hashem panav elecha like a little negatively. Meaning, when it says Yisa Hashem panav elecha, may Hashem lift His face from you, or above, from, you know, upon you. It depends how you're explaining it. That's how, you know, it's explained differently according to different mefarshim. So Rashi and the Evanet and the Medrash Rabbah say, Yechbosh kaso. Yechbosh kaso. He should remove his angry face. Meaning the happy yellow face, smiley face, that should be upon you. But if you don't deserve that, and you deserve Hashem's anger, He should remove that anger. And it's interesting because the Medrash says, if you see in number 19, Yisa Hashem panav elecha v'gomer, Ya'avir ka'aso mimcha, ve'ein yisa ela lashon hasara. And I think that's why Rashi, you know, chose this one, because yisa is hasara, removal. So it doesn't really mean Hashem's face is upon you, it means Hashem's face is being removed. He's removing His face from you. So what face would He be removing from you? A face of anger. Because sometimes when Hashem is angry and punishes, Pnei Hashem could be angry. So therefore, it means that you should have a blessing, you know, the spiritual blessing that Hashem should always show, you know, look upon you favorably. Even when you don't deserve it, the anger should be pushed away. Okay, so you should be left with the favorable face, not the angry one. But if you look at most of the other Mefarshim, explain it in the more positive light, as opposed to, you know, removing the face of anger. No, leaving, having the face of favor, having something positive above you always. And this is what the Eben Ezra and Rabbeinu Babachia say. Look at number 20. Yisashem panav elacha, hefech elim einai mikem. Right? It's the opposite of, I'm hiding my face from you. Meaning that Hashem will always be with you. He's always there for you. He's not going to be hiding from you. That his face will always be upon you, the positive face, not a negative face. And he explains, V'hata'am kasher perashti, ki b'chol makom shetifneh, yihyeh panav nosot elacha. Okay? No matter where you turn, Hashem's face should be with you. You know, you think when you travel somewhere, it looks like the moon is following you, you know? So you have Hashem following you no matter where you go. You're always with Hashem. Or rather, Hashem is always with you. Even when you feel like he's not sometimes, or even when you're going through something difficult, or you're in a dark period, or you feel you're not, you know, in a time of your life that you're feeling inspired, or you're feeling down. You know what? Hashem is always there for you. And just remember that. And that's what Rabbeinu Bachya says. Yisa Hashem panav elecha, bekol makom shetifneh, anywhere you turn, yihyeh panav nesuot elecha, lasum lecha shalom, which will bring you peace, and we'll talk about that in a second. And he just adds, again, that's the same thing Eben Ezra says, but he adds, Rabbeinu Bachya adds, have hashkacha pratit yitera. It's like an extra hashkacha pratis. When you think about it, we know this is hashkacha in the world, right? And then there's hashkacha, Hashem has a plan for the world. And then there's hashkacha pratis, which is individualized hashkacha. And this is an extra hashkacha pratis, an even more specific individual hashkacha. That even more so, us personally, no matter what happens in your life, know and keep in mind and appreciate the fact that Hashem is there. And he continues and he says, Eben Ezra quoted, it's the opposite of Hashem hiding from you. He's not hiding from you. He's visible. He's there. You know, look for him and you'll see that he's there. And if you look, that you'll see that he's there. So just to sum up, 22, we'll end with 22 here. I'm not going to do the Ralbag. Getting late. Akedas Yitzchak says, kind of sums it up for us. Kvar, I love when Mefarshim do that. They just sum up the end of a shir, and then, you know, you don't have to worry summing up yourself. Right? Kvar nitzba'er michlal, do parts of it. Divrei chachameinu, ki elu ha-shalosh brachot hei miyuchadot le-shalosh tzarchim hechrechiyim asher lanu. The three parts of Birchas Kohanim correspond to three essential things we need in our lives. Right? Number one, harishon ha-achad. Okay, the physical things. When it comes to money, we need those things. You know, tzorchei haguf, v'chol hanalot elav mehakinyanim hazmaniyim, and all the things that are, yes, kinyanim hazmaniyim, they're temporary things that we have, but they are, but they're important, but temporary. You know, don't put more chashivas to it than it is. It's not everlasting, but it's needed in this world. So we ask Hashem for that. That's physical. V'hasheni. And the second one is tzorchei nafshoseinu, what our soul needs, our spiritual needs, right? And that's the light of Hashem, the inspiration of Torah, the light of Torah, again, the favor of Hashem, the chayin Hashem, you know, throws upon us, bestows on us. And that's the second part, the spiritual needs. So the physical needs, Hashem is there for us. The physical needs Hashem is, you know, Hashem provides for us. And finally, last three lines, Omnam Hashlishi, Hutzarchenu Beinenu Venelokenu, Vehula Kabel Masat Panav, Utvekuta Havato. And the last section is kind of bringing it all together. To always look to Hashem, cleave to Hashem, have Tvekis Hashem, because, and recognize that the physical and the spiritual, with both, which our physical and spiritual needs, which both come from Hashem, are bestowed upon us all the time. That if we have a relationship with Hashem, we'll recognize that He is the source of our physical and spiritual needs, and we'll know that He's with us, that source of our physical and spiritual needs will be with us all the time. Again, even at times that we're not sure He is, or even at times that might be difficult. But that means, again, what both the source of the physical and spiritual that we've just davened for in the first and second part of Birchas Kohanim will be constantly with us. And ultimately, that's what's going to be Asem Lecha Shalom. V'inei hayal shalom ikar kol abrachot b'chituman. That's like the seal. That ultimately, when you recognize that Hashem is the source of our physical needs, and Hashem is the source of our spiritual needs. And those physical needs and spiritual needs are always, you know, being provided by, from Hashem, by Hashem, all the time, no matter where we turn, no matter where we go, no matter what we experience. That ultimately will bring us inner peace. That will be Hashem Lecha Shalom. That's how we'll find peace, because you can really get through anything if you recognize that Hashem is there with you. No matter what happens, that's how you can handle it, knowing that it's not just random, knowing Hashem has a plan, knowing that Hashem is there for us, and that He's the source of everything we need, and that ultimately will bring you inner peace, which will help you through anything that happens in your lives. So my bracha to everybody is, I know you're probably, because it's such a great school, having such a great year. Enjoy, continue enjoying, continue using the opportunity to be inspired and recognize that this is a bracha. You know, you don't have the Kohanim reminding you, but I'll remind you. But just, you know, don't take it for granted. Recognize that this is such a bracha, that you have this opportunity, and keep learning from it and growing and just taking it all in and appreciating it, and have a wonderful rest of the year. And a Hanukkah Sameach.